Lord, thank you for James. And somebody asked me about him the other day, and I said, I'm going to tell you what I've told people 1,000 times. I would trust him with my checkbook and my car keys and my wife. I don't say that about many people. But and I've never had to do all three at the same time. But Lord, thank you for the gift of friendship. And thank you, Lord, for the gift of purpose.
Amen.
And we just ask for you to express both of those today. And use James to help us, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
This is like coming home. I love being here. I just love being here. My one... Thank you, guys. I love you. It's like coming home. It's like being with family. And so you can get away with a few things that you would not get away with other places. And you can say a few things and that kind of thing. My wife took a note from me this morning. She texted me. And I said, do you want me to tell the people hello? And she said, yes, tell them I said hello. And don't you say nothing else. I'm watching you. So, hi from Wanda. All seriousness, I want to go through the points I'm going to give you. And so, wherever Holy Spirit leads this and takes it, it's up to Him to do whatever He wants to. I have some things in my heart, but I want to give you the bullet points, and then I'll get to as many of them as I can. Don't be so lazy that you don't pick up your Bible and go study for yourself. Okay? You're responsible. Okay? I don't know if you know this, but all we are as spokesmen are mailmen, not responsible what you do with the mail. It's your business. You know? It's your business. You know? You may not like what's in the box. That's not my business. Don't do that. I don't do that. I'm not going to mess with the mail. I'm not going to try to make you happy about what's in the mailbox. I'm not going to, if it's a good thing, I'll rejoice with you, and I'll weep with you if it ain't good. But beyond that, I can't do anything about it. The Lord today will be very encouraging to you as we look at our culture. But what you're going to have to commit to do to hear God's voice in this, you have got to go to a cruising altitude of 35,000 feet. We're going to have to get up high, because where we are down low is a tremendous amount of turbulence and activity, demonic spirit, and all those things are taking place. And so if we're going to get up and see what heaven is seeing and doing, we're going to have to come up higher. Okay? So I'm going to try to take us up to about a 35,000 cruising altitude view. And let's see what's on God's heart, on His timetable. If, I'm going to give you one word, it's not in my notes. I think this is one that you might want to write down. It's a revelation that the Lord gave me some time ago. And we're talking about the will of God. We're talking about the ways of God and what God wants. And listen to this. This is in the Bible. Go look it up. It's in the Bible. Somewhere in the Bible. Go look it up. No, it's found in the book of Genesis from the very beginning. God gave dominion, domain of the earth to man. He gave it to man. Already knowing that man legally was going to give it away to the devil. And he didn't stop him. Isn't that a powerful revelation of what you and your will can do to affect generations? Generations. Sin is entering the world through that one man's act of defiance. And he gave the devil legal right to do what he did. You see, the devil has power, but he has only the authority that we give him. He has some power, but he doesn't have any authority unless you give him authority. That's what Adam did. But get it. Jesus the Bible says, was slain before there was a problem, God had already had a solution. Is that if he had it for the world, do you think you came on the scene by accident? You're no accident. You're here with a divine purpose to be on the earth for a time such as this. Stop asking to go home. You go home when your work is done. I'm thinking, I'd love to go home. I had a surprise operation that took me several weeks to recover, and it was out of the blue. I went in to the doctor for one reason. Next thing you know, I'm in the emergency room, and he's telling me I got to have surgery. And I thought, okay, here we go. And I'm thinking in my mind, okay, God, I know this sounds kind of canny, Anna, but I'm okay if you take me home. I really am. I do want to see my grandkids fulfill the things that I know God's called them to. I want to see my sons come to walk out what they've been called to. I've got some daughters and some, you know, I've got some reason to stay here. But if you want to take me, I'm good. So after I was released from the doctor, poor Wanda, she says, Doc, she said, the doctor released you. You're gone. You're out of my hand. I ain't doing nothing else anymore for you. You doing it for yourself. But I'm just waiting for him to say it's okay. And when he says okay, I'm done. And so I went to the doctor, and he said, everything's good, Ms. Harris. Healing fine. You need to stay with this protocol in terms of what you can and cannot do or should not do. He said, but I want to ask you something. Now, this man is probably in his 40s. Now, I'm for those of you that know the math, I'm probably 20 years older than he is. So there's certain things I don't ask him. I don't ask him what it feels like. Are you supposed to feel like this at this age? I mean, what is he going to tell me? He's going to read the book. And I said, this is what you're supposed to feel. He doesn't know how you're supposed to feel at that age. And you're getting ailments and pains in places you never got them before. You got stuff going on. You don't know if it's normal or not. Okay. But he says to me, he said, Ms. Harris, I've got a question for you. I said, okay. He said, I have never seen anybody so unexcited as you were. There was no anxiousness in your voice as I began to tell you, go to the emergency room. Check yourself in. You're going to have surgery. I just said, okay, I'll call my wife. She'll meet me there, and we'll get on with it. And he told me where to go and all that. He said, I'm arranging everything else for you. And I said, okay. He said, but there was no excitement. There was this nonchalant attitude. I said, Doc, it don't matter where you go from where you leave, as long as you know where you're going. And I said, if you know where you're going, what reason is it to be anxious? I said, if you run to the end and you're okay with that, then why be anxious? Why let your spirit be so disturbed? You know, I hear people say about many loved ones, and these many are many of these people I've walked to the Lord, and they say, we lost them. I said, no, you didn't. You know where they are. You didn't lose them. Like you don't know where they are. Now, you can't go where they are right now, but you will someday. You'll leave too, but you won't be lost. We as followers of Christ have a hope that's out of this world. Why am I talking about this? Because if you don't get that perspective, everything is going to be about protecting your life, keeping yourself from difficulty. Stop trying to do that is futile. In this life, Jesus said, you will have trials and tribulations. Not you might, not sometime. He says, you will. You will. And if God said you will, you will. And he knew it too. Let's jump into the topic today. Today's message is entitled, You Need to Know Your History. You need to know your history. I'll tell you a little bit about the backstory. I was standing on this stage in 2006, March of 2006, and I'm getting ready to speak. And I'm getting my message together, and there's a storm brewing outside. Some of you may remember what took place in Gladstone and some other areas during that march, where storms came through and took out homes and leveled buildings and all the way up to Liberty at the college there. There was damage, and so that was that Sunday. I'm sitting here, and a couple of our trustees, I said, go man the weather radio, because you could see people getting very anxious about what's happening on the outside. And the Lord broke in on that thing at that time to me, and he said, James, the winds of change is blowing. Can you not perceive it? And he says, if you're holding on to what I'm blowing away, then you can't grab hold to what I'm blowing in. You see, people, seasons change. And there's a time where God has spoken something to us or given us something, and we hold on tight to that. But there's a time when what you're holding on to, though it was for a purpose and for a time and a season, now will keep you from walking into the new thing that God has for you now. Is that making sense? It's all through the Bible. How is it a people that knew all about the Pharisees and Sadducees about the coming Messiah, and yet when the reality hit, they missed it altogether? How is that? How is it you can know so much about what is to be, and when it becomes, you miss it? As a matter of fact, you participate with the darkness that is trying to snuff him out and take him away. Why is there such a battle for our history? You cannot change history. History is history. You can't change it. The only thing you can do is look at it and pray for the healing of those things that took place that they don't possess this place now. Does that make sense? A war against history, trying to change it, is called stupidity. That's stupid. And there's no answer to stupid. Be careful about that. Don't participate in it, because it's a futile thing. If we took the men and women of the Bible and judge them based on what we think is right and wrong today, 90% of them would never make the writing. From Abraham to David. And by the way, there are some New Testament people in that group. But because we choose to believe what we believe, we put them in stained glass windows and we make them idols. I was supposed to be speaking on Martin Luther King Day, and this is what I would say. The man was a man, as we all are, used by God to shape and change the course of a nation. And so are you. You need to know your history. And what I'm talking about today is part of your history as a church. These things occurred. They happened. When I first moved here in the late 80s, there was the best I can describe of it, a atmosphere of faith that God was going to move on that Sunday morning. And so you went to church with an expectancy, not knowing what God was going to do, but he's good and he's going to do some good today. Maybe I get healed today. Maybe I get, like me, I get broken from the spirit of rejection in my life. But some good is going to happen today. That's like saying sick 'em to a dog when you talk to the Holy Spirit like that. Come on, you're welcome here today. Have it your way today. And you come with that expectancy. That's part of this church's history. And if you don't know it, you need to find out about it. Why? Because that's what you were birthed into. So we got to know our history. And we got to be careful who tells the history, because the person that's telling the narrative is the person that controls the outcome that they want us to know. I was excited about a little article I saw of how good coffee is for you. And it was good. It had, man, I'm a coffee drinker. I love coffee. I have to be careful about how much coffee I drink, but I love coffee. And man, it really made you feel good about that second cup of coffee and a third cup and maybe even dare do another cup. You know, I mean, after all, it's good for you. And then in the fine lines, sponsored by the National Coffee Foundation. It kind of tainted the message a little bit. You know what I'm saying? This perspective of who's telling your story. This podcast that we're doing is on kingdom solutionaries. What does it look like to view the world through God's eyes? And just let Holy Spirit do what Holy Spirit does. And it's amazing. My host moves that way as well. And we just have a lot of fun. I mean, I thought it was going to be hard, folks. I really did. And Astrid and I argued with God about it. And one of my friends that's been a friend 20-plus years, I called him and said, I'm struggling with this. And he said, okay, what you're struggling with? And I told him. And I told him, I made the mistake of saying God said. And then he said to me, I can't pray about that. I said, what do you mean you can't pray? He goes, what do you want me to pray? I can pray for boldness that you do what you're told to do. I can pray for wisdom on how to do it. Pray for you to do it or not do it. You've already been told. And I go, thank you very much for your wisdom. I come to you for answers and you leave. What? He goes, I gave you an answer. This answer you already had. You didn't need an answer. You needed a confirmation. Okay, go do it. Sometimes, folks, we make a mountain out of a molehill when all we need to do is obey. We're not responsible for the result. We are responsible for the obedience. And I have friends like, and I'm human. I like my life of comfort, and I don't like things that makes me uncomfortable. But what I've found in following God is that you can either be comfortable or obedient, but you can't be both. There's no such thing as comfortably obedient. He's always ratcheting it up. He's always calling you higher. He's always challenging your faith. And what was the floor for you before now is the ceiling before you before now becomes your floor, and you're stepping up. Always stepping up, always calling you higher, always, always, always. There's no way we're ever going to grasp all of who God is. Amen. Not here, and we're not going to do it up there either. We will every day, whatever day means in heaven, we're going to discover discovering the attributes of who God is. We can't contain all of Him. None of us. So it's always going to be an upward call. Always an upward, ascending into the heart of the Father. He's just that good. So let me give you these things, and you can write them down if you find them noteworthy. I asked John John Small, not to put these, you know, give you all the notes. And I said people need to write down whatever they want to write. But there's these points I want to give you, and then I'm going to go back and explain as many of them as I possibly can. Understand the times and be sensitive to the spirit of the season. Understand the times that you're in and be sensitive to the season. Number two, God wants us to partner with Him, not just with our hands, but with our hearts. Sold out to Him. Set apart. Set apart. Number three, He wants us to return to Him with a whole heart. Undivided heart. No other allegiance to any other idols in our lives. Next, He wants us to have we need to return to a holiness and fear of the Lord. There's times early in my life where I hear people wouldn't dare, even though they did know God from Sikkim, couldn't identify Him, and you couldn't find Him on Sunday morning with a search warrant. But there was a reverence because they knew you were a God follower. And they wouldn't dare say certain things out of respect in your presence. We need to return to a holy heart set apart for God and begin to understand the fear of the Lord. When I say fear, I'm talking about reverence. Ain't nobody else in His space. Nobody can ascend to the presence of God without pure hands and pure hearts. And the last one is that we need to seek God. And I'm struggling to even put this to words, but it is really realizing that whatever God's putting in your hands, it has a purpose attached to it. You're not a reservoir. You are a conduit. It goes from Him through you to others. From Him through you to others. That's when He put you in that place that you don't like. Call your job. No godly people there, and you've been wanting to get out of there all your life or ever since you've been there, and God says, no, I brought you there. You got a purpose. Those people don't come to church on Sunday morning. They don't know me. You're an ambassador for me in that place. Oh, boy. Okay, I'm going to try to get through as many of these as I possibly can. Okay, understanding the times. This is very, very important. Hear me. The children or men of Issachar could discern the times and season and could tell Israel what to do. They could discern the times and seasons. What does that mean? They were sensitive to what God was doing, and God would give them strategies of what was in His heart and could direct the people into what heaven is doing. So that what heaven is doing, that was Jesus' prayer, right? He told His disciples, pray this way, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. He's set apart from anybody else. He's holy. He's righteous. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth just as is being done in heaven. So whatever is going on in heaven is my marching orders to do that on the earth. So I've got to hear His voice. And then the second thing is I've got to obey what He says, and it doesn't matter if it makes any sense to me or not. It's not about knowledge. It's about obedience. So these men had the wisdom of God's Spirit to direct the people with what heaven was doing, so that the reality of what heaven was doing was being duplicated down here on earth through God's people. It hadn't changed, folks. It's just got better because the Holy Spirit dwells in you. These guys didn't have the These people they were directing didn't have the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God came upon people for particular reasons at particular times to do thus and so. There was only a few men, Jesus being one of those, before his, you know, before he died and ascended, that and John, where the Spirit of God was in and on. Now you, Jesus said, it's better I go away. If I don't go away, the Spirit won't come. And if the Comforter won't come, and if he comes, though I was with you, he shall be in you. The Spirit of God, the living God of all heaven, has decided for those and made a decision to reside in his creation, his people, his children. Why? To direct you and to lead you into all truths. That's what his purpose is. The next one is this. And this is going to blow you guys away. And this is the one and one I missed that you need to go back and put in. Be prepared to receive. What I'm about to say, it may cause a little turbulence in your life, but I'm going to back it up with Scripture so you know it's biblical and Bible. During that day, I'm sitting here, and the Lord began that morning. What he spoke to me led me down a journey that took me several years for my wife and I to get through. And we had to walk through God. And one of the things he said to me, and again, this is going to blow you away because so many of us connect with the deity of Christ, we forget about his humanity. If he could have done it in the spirit, he would not have had to take the flesh on. Oh, man, they got a big clock that's flashing now. And it's counting down. I don't know what that means, but it's big numbers. Okay. I think they're saying you can't see it in the little numbers because the light's in your eye. But here's the big numbers. Just want to remind you. This is so good. Catch on to this. Proverbs 13:22. If you don't have it outlined in your Bible, outline it. Proverbs 13:22. Here's what it says. A good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children, but the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. We are in that season of transfer. And the Lord told me that in 2006. I was here, so you must be part of that message because it was to you as well as it was to me. Now, hold on to your seats about what I'm going to say. I'm going to mess up your theology, but I'm going to use the Bible. It's the Word of God. I heard the voice of Jesus say, am I not a good man? Whoa, am I not a good man? That would leave an inheritance for my children's children. Am I not a good man? That's what it says. A good man leaves an inheritance for my children's children. Here's the key. If you got Bible on it, you can stand on it, okay? The Bible says in 1 Peter, I think it's 5, that says there's only one between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. That's what it says. I was going to mess up your theology. He was both God and man. It's quiet in this place. Messed up your theology. But it's Bible. I didn't take him down to man and neither did you. He chose to. By the will of the Father. If Jesus could have done it any other way than dying and taking on flesh, or taking on flesh and dying, he would have done it. Forever, when you see him, the scars of Calvary will be in that body and on that body. He still got it. And he did it for all of you so that you can have an inheritance. When we started having grandchildren, my first grandchild is here today, and he's soon to be a teenager, another birthday. And God, I couldn't believe what it was like to have a grandchild. I was just messed up. People had told me how good it was going to be, and it was much better than what they said. They were liars. It was much better than that. And my wife and I told our kids, well, you guys are done. Don't look for nothing. We ain't leaving nothing. It's all about the grandkids. If you get a gift card to Cracker Barrel or Panera's or something like that, God bless you, because that's as good as it's ever going to get. It's all about the grandkids. If that's the heart of a natural man, what is the heart of God for his grandchildren? What is it? What is it? He loves it. Here's the next part of that. So, the Lord told me as I was going through this process, and I'm just going to tell you, some of you close to me, no, we've gone to hell and back, and I can draw you a map. It has not been fun. It has been hard. It has been difficult. And there's times when all we could do is say, we can make it today. I can pay my light bill today, but my gas bill is not due for a couple more weeks. I'm good today. I'm just being real with you. I'm being real with you. But God was faithful. I lose my job a year after I get there. I mean, one day I'm making this large salary, and the next day I've got nothing but what I have in my savings. And it was you people that came to me and said, Pastor, what can we do? Are you coming back to Kansas City? I said, no. I went to Birmingham for a purpose. I'm not leaving that. It's not like God is surprised that I lost my job or my job ended. It actually, the company went bankrupt. And that day I lost $130,000 in a moment. I'm being real with you. This faith is, and walking with God is not for the faint of heart. But it's in that time when you're going to those difficult places, what has God said? I'm speaking to somebody because this is not in my notes. You need to understand something. You do not forget in the darkness what God has spoken to you in the light. It becomes a catalyst that keep you going. And you good people said, Pastor, how can I help? And you came alongside of us and you did things for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. That's what love does, you know. It's not just words, it's deeds. Acted out. And people loved on us, gave to us. When I couldn't do for myself, they did for us. Love did that. They could, out of sight, out of mind, they could have taken that. They didn't see me. I couldn't afford to drive here or come here or fly here. I'm being real with you people. These things don't happen because you're so good. We're going through some of the difficult times in this church. We're moving in this building. We're coming out of a 16-square-foot facility into a 55,000-square-foot facility. This is part of your history, I'm telling you. John is away in Omaha with his wife. That only thing we could say on 24 hours of prayer is she's still alive today. Yeah, it's a hard season. And I'm saying, God, you lost control of this thing. What are you doing? It's like, what in the world is going on? And a calm voice screamed across my spirit that says, oh, I'm testing my work. He said, James, everything's get tested. I am not saying that God caused Kathy illness, but we better take Romans 8:28 out of the Bible if this isn't true. And that said, he makes all things, the hard things, the difficult things, the good things, the bad things, work together for his good and for his purpose. God was in that? Oh, yeah, God's in a lot of things you wouldn't put God in. Most of our prayers is trying to convince poor, misinformed God about what's going on in our life. That's our prayers. We need to change that mindset and ask him, what are you doing? This didn't catch you off guard. There ain't no surprises with you. So what are you doing? So that I can stop resisting and lean into what you're doing. God is moving in the earth right now. You need to ask him, what are you doing? How can I be a participator instead of a spectator and watching, just watch what you do? But I can step in. If you are alive, you're here with a purpose. And if you're not, raise your hand so somebody can get you out of here, because you're going to be stinking up the place pretty soon. We are here. Our culture has lost its mind. And it's not going to hear us if we don't love them. God will never, ever, hear me, never, ever, ever give you a people that you cannot love. First, we have a tendency to look at what people are not instead of what they are. If I'm going to keep you long, it might well be something worthwhile, right? I'm going to try to get to one more, just one more, one more. But let me finish this off. The last part of that was the wealth transfer. How many of you know that God owns it all? Okay? He owns it all. And it is not just the just that he gets rained on. It's unjust as well. We made rain a bad thing. Rain's a good thing. Because without rain, nothing grows. So we need to stop talking about how bad the rain is and lean into the rain, because without the rain, there's no growth. Without difficult times, it is that that gives us a testimony that others can believe that God is good. Look at what he's done in my life. That's a testimony. Is that I went through the tests and I just didn't have the moanies, but now I got the testimony of the goodness and mercy of God that scripture speaks of. Let me give you an announcement. Look around. If you got a mirror, look in the mirror. Every one of you is terminal. We all ain't going to get out of here alive. Every one of us. It's not that you're going to die. It's what you live for that you need to be known for. I'm glad of the things the Lord done in my life, but they have no hold on me. I love the nice house, by the way, that he gave me my $130,000 back in one day, and I didn't have any money. Someday you'll hear that testimony. It's amazing. I know it was true because I was there. But if somebody would tell me about it, I still would be a little doubtful. Yeah, yeah, yeah. God never changes. Being prepared to receive, if God release those finances in your hands tomorrow, what would you do with them? That's what the Lord told me. We was on that circle. You may have known a little bit about it. Everybody was praying the prayer of Jabez, increase our territory, enlarge our territory, move our tent pegs. You know, all those things. It talks about blessing. The Lord stopped me in the middle of that. He goes, if I gave you that which you're praying for, what would you do with it? And I go, oh, my God, I better have a plan. You know, it's like we want more people, but what are we going to do with those people? You know, we didn't have no place for those people. The Bible says that God blesses and he has at no sorrow to it. You ain't helping folks if you can't bring them into. That's what's been wrong with Christendom. And the reason why I'm telling you this is because God is about to release, take away from the hands of the wicked into the hands of the righteous, but your heart must be prepared to receive. Number one, you need to expect to receive, and then you need to know what's going to take place, what's on God's heart when you do. What's on the agenda of heaven? What does heaven want with it? Leads me to my next point. Preparing your heart to receive. The children of Israel that left Egypt all those of fighting age died in the wilderness. And here's a new generation. Think with me a little bit about where we are. In this generation, the Bible says, did not know God nor the ways of God. And they are about to enter a promised land that they have no history of how they got there to that point. And they're about to step into a promise that God made their forefathers to fulfill. They're about to walk in it. But they didn't even know the one that brought them. What about our generation? They couldn't pick God out of a lineup, most of them. Don't be laughing at them. That's our fault. We were chasing after stuff we didn't need to be chasing after of. There is decisions. My sons don't know this yet, just a little bit of it, because I haven't been free to release it. But I said no to jobs because it was going to take them away, me away from them. Some things cost too much. I needed to be their father. Those of you who are single mothers or single fathers, God bless you. But understand this. Only men can teach men how to be men. Only men. And if you was raised by a single mom, God bless you. But understand, he hasn't changed the pattern. What you experienced was grace and mercy. Don't get it twisted. That's not a new pattern. It may be popular, and it may be part of the culture, but it's not kingdom. Understand that. Understand who you are, your kingdom. I am not a black Christian. I don't identify with my race first, because whatever I identify myself to be, that leads in my life. I've got to follow it. It's my idol, you see, and it identifies me. Are you hearing me? Now, I never could go in a black church and preach that. They'd give me the right full of fellowship right out of there, but it still makes it true. Doesn't make it any less true. If I make my skin color my idol, I've got to follow it because that identifies me. I'm a follower of Christ. First and foremost, and it's whom I follow. I don't care what the world does. I do care, but you understand. I'm not going to follow that. And I don't care what kind of rational explanation you give it. I'd have to decide, and I'm going to stand before him and give account of that decision. That's the same for you white folks as well, by the way. You don't get a get-out-of-jail card because of you're not the same color I am. God doesn't care. He made it that way. I love my grace. I love my color. Why? My Creator made me that way. I'm agreeing with him. Why are y'all listening so slow? I'm going to make this my last point. I talked to you about the return to holiness. Let me tell you what's this circumcision happened with those children. And so they had to take out the flint knives and circumcise all those young men that was born in the wilderness before they entered the promised land. A reestablishing of the covenant that God had with their forefathers had to be taken up. And the Lord told me, he said, my people must be prepared to receive what I'm about to put in their hands. And if they don't, allow me to circumcise their hearts, then they'll do with what the world does with the wealth that I'm about to entrust them with, and that's spending on their own lust. That was sobering to me. I mean, he went in very detailed. How many of you know that the kingdom of God must be financed? The work of the ministry has to be financed. If Jesus had women and men behind him financing, providing for the needs that they had as he went from town to town and people to people. How much, if the Son of God needed, how much more do we? We don't have no sponsors in these things. God's our sponsor. And if he's releasing it to you, then you better know that it's not yours, and you better ask him where he wants you to put it. This is not a time to focus on yourselves. You better know that if God gave you this, it has a purpose attached to it. And it's up to those that you release it to, that you have, you're led by the Spirit of God to partner with, to do the thus and so that they've called them to. Am I making any sense to you? Of course. I wish it was that clear. Easy. So we're in that season, folks. Here's some things I would really advise you to do. Know your history. Know the history of this church. John can help you with that. There's books. There's, you can believe it or not, there's CDs and there's video. How many of you ever know about a cassette tape? there's a ton of cassette tapes about the history of this church, and it is amazing, its origin. I mean, my God, rich in history, rich in the power and move of the Spirit of God in this place. Signs in the heavens and miracles. Yes, sir, absolutely. That was the atmosphere that birthed you into this place. I feel the Holy Spirit all over this. But when you don't know your history, the enemy will steal it, distort it, and twist it where you never get the benefits of it. I see this in the black community right now. It grieves my heart. Because the Bible, there's a point in Scripture in the book of Revelations where it talks about the prayers of the saints gone long before us that are captured in the bowls of heaven. How many of you know prayers never die? They never die. They may be cast in one generation, and there's a fulfillment in the next generation. And God calls it the same. I'll use the term as one of the guys I follow use, the synergy of the ages. They could not be what they are called to be, and you could not be what you've been called to be without them, and they couldn't have done it without you. They prayed for this generation. You don't plant shade trees that you know is going to take 30 years or 40 years for it to benefit you, because you ain't going to be around 30, 40 years. It's for your future generations that will have shade to center that tree. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy. I know for my race of people, I come from good stock. I come from stock of people that know how to seek the heart of God. I know I came from prayers and benefit in walking in prayers that my forefathers knew they would never see. They prayed for me and for my generations and the generations will come. And I'm not going to let them down because I owe them a debt of spending time in the quiet places, knowing if they were caught by their masters, they would be beaten or killed. And yet they prayed. The word was still away and to the quiet places, the hard places. And they're praying for a better life for me than they would ever hope to experience in their lifetime. But they're praying for me and for many of you. We're not here by accident. God's got a divine purpose. I don't care where you are. If you can put a mirror in front of your face and produce a fog, you're here for a purpose. I don't care how old you are. Ask God, what do you want to do? I'm your guy. I'm your man. Maybe it's just to encourage the next generation. Maybe it's to pray for that person that I don't even know yet, but I'm going to anoint my eyes to see. I'm going to anoint my ears to hear. I'm going to anoint my mouth to speak. I'm going to ask for Holy Spirit to flow through me. I'm going to anoint my hands to touch. I'm going to anoint my feet to walk into that place that you have ordained for that day. And I'm going to see heaven move. I'm going to see lives come back again. I'm telling you, people, this is your time. This is your season. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't be so distracted by what the world is doing that you miss what God is doing. It's happened before. It can happen again. We don't just need more knowledge. We need Holy Spirit wisdom. Amen? I'm going to stop. I've drug you along 15 minutes longer than you're supposed to be. I'm going to quit, I promise you. But would you stand? I'd like to pray for you. Holy Spirit, thank you for being with us this morning. We know you walked among these aisles and you touched hearts and you moved on people's lives. I pray as we walk in the days to come, the realization of what took place today will be seen and things will change in many lives. That purposes, your plans would be revealed. That they would become an excitement and a thank you and a gratefulness for being alive in this season. Lord, that you would just highlight what you're doing. Let us not miss it. Let us not be so inwardly focused that we cannot see. Open the eyes of our hearts, Lord, that we might see you. Hope, all of our hope is in you. It's not in the things of the world. It's in you. We ask for your love and power to move in our lives. For your glory, for the sake of your great name. Let us keep our eyes on the windshield, not the rearview mirror. Let us be aware of where we come from, but let our focus be on where we're going, where you're taking us to in this time. For your glory, for the sake of your great name, we pray, your people love you and say thank you, Lord. Amen. And amen.
Two things are happening for James that he's been praying for a long, long time. We've talked about this over the years. We just talked about it the other evening. Number one, he's evangelistic, but he's not an evangelist. And Lord's opening doors for him to speak to the church, to Christians. And that's who his message is really for, and that's starting to happen. And the other thing is that he's an African-American Christian. He is getting an opportunity to speak more to people of color than he's ever had before. Part of what this podcast is about, that's something that he's been waiting for, looking for, and the Lord's opening that door. So if you want to pray for him and the way he's ministering, number one, that he'll have a message that he can release to people who are believers so they can understand kingdom. And that he'll have an opportunity to speak, and I'm just going to say, fathering people that look like him. Not that he won't be able to speak to people like us, but he's got a message that can really affect generation. And very few people who have it are also as relational as he is. So there's an opportunity to create the message in a flow of relationship. And so, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for James being able to share his heart with us today. And Lord, I'm asking that these two things that have been so important to him that are now becoming a reality, that you would empower that reality and cause the outcome that you're looking for to be there. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thanks for being here, and we'll see you next time.